We'll go back to Mark's Gospel tonight, the 9th chapter, verses 14 through 29 again. Again, you remember Jesus had been up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He came down. When he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and the scribes disputing with them. And immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" And one from the multitude answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is a mute spirit. Whenever he seizes him, he throws him down, and he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. And I spoke to the disciples, and they could not cast him out." They should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. He asked his father, "How long has this been happening?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he's thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to him, "You deaf and dumb spirit, I command you come out of him and enter him no more." And the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. When he came into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast him out?" And he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing except by prayer and fasting." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago and saw Jesus' rebuke of the disciples and I think of us for our lack of faith. We come tonight to look at this passage and see something of how faith is born. How faith is born and how fragile it can be. Faith is often born out of a sense of desperation. People turn to God sometimes because they have nowhere else to turn. The father of a sick child is seeking, looking, praying, longing for help for his child. In the child's condition, he could never live a normal life and, in fact, might be killed. Not only did the seizures cause his lad to fall to the ground and foam at the mouth, but they also cause him on occasion to fall into the fire while he may be burned to death or into the water where he may be drowned. The father was desperate. He fears for his child's life. And in Luke's gospel, Luke tells us that he is the father's only child. His only child. So we see the condition is even more pressing. Apparently somewhere this father had heard about the miracles that Jesus was performing, and he believes that perhaps he could find help from Jesus if he brings his child to him. And so he turns to look for Jesus, and he comes and finds that Jesus is up on the mountain. And so he brings the child to the disciples. And as we saw 2 weeks ago, the disciples completely fail to heal the child. The father's faith is shaken. The disciples have failed to provide healing for his son. When Jesus arrived, the father is no longer sure of even Jesus' ability to bring healing and health and wholeness to his son. And to Jesus he said, "If you can do anything." No real confidence at all. "If you can do anything, have pity on us and help us." We saw earlier that Jesus had already called the disciples a faithless generation. And someone has said a whole world of disbelief stands in the way of this boy's restoration. And we might even say the thing about us today. There is in the world, and in some degree even within the church, a widespread disbelief in the person and teaching of Jesus as the only sure foundation of the world's survival and welfare. The only permanent cure which can possibly meet the world's sickness. As Halford said, thousands upon thousands of us do not believe in any downright fashion that Christ is the way and the truth and the life. That His procedures are the way to salvation from war. We do not believe that He is the revelation of God, not as intensely as we believe that 2 and 2 make 4. So at the foot of the mountain, to what degree because of faithlessness, the ills of humanity are not healed? But let's move on. The Father said to Jesus in desperation, "If you can help us, if you can help us, have pity on this." And to this Jesus responds, "All things are possible. All things are possible to him who believes." Is this true? Can it possibly be true? First, I believe we should see that the opposite of this is almost universally true. Consider all things are impossible. All things are impossible to the person who does not believe. Go back to your childhood. If your childhood was anything like mine, on occasion when your parents urged you to do something, told you to do something, you said, I can't do that. And I don't know how many times my parents told me, can't do anything. But as long as we don't try, as long as a child doesn't believe they can do something, no matter what it is, they'll not try. And they cannot do anything because they do not believe they can do it. They can't ride a bicycle because they're afraid they'll fall. They can't go in swimming because they're afraid they'll drown. They can't sing because people might make fun of them. They can't play ball because they might drop the ball. Whatever. If a person doesn't believe in his mind and heart that they can do something, they can't do it. They can't do it. They won't try. And of course, you can't do anything without trying. But this type of thing doesn't change with adulthood. Basically, if a person doesn't believe something is possible for that person, it's not going to happen. This is true in everything from finding a life's mate to finding a job to recovering from an accident or an illness. Many, many surgeons would tell you they don't want to operate on a person if the person doesn't believe they're going to get well. If they don't believe they're going to get well, there's a good possibility they won't. One of the first times I ran into something like this in the ministry, I had a young, lady wasn't old by any means. She wasn't too young, but a whole lot younger than I am now. But one day she's bringing in a bucket of water from the well, and she stumbled and fell at the back door, and she broke her hip. I went to see her in the hospital, and the first thing she said was, "Why did God do this to me?" I don't remember what I told her, but I would like to have told her, "God's not responsible for your clumsiness. God didn't do it to her. She did it herself." But the second thing she said was, "I will never walk again." And though she was only probably in her 50s, she never walked again. The nurses tried to get her to walk. The therapist tried to get her to walk. They tried to get her up. She refused. And she never walked again. If I say it's something we can't do, it's impossible if we don't believe. But are all things possible to him who believes? Not if we take it in an unscriptural, literal sense. If we do that, it becomes immoral nonsense. Faith will not allow you to pluck money out of the air. Faith will not allow you to live indefinitely without food or drink. Faith will not allow you to fly through the air without benefit of an airplane or some other means of propulsion. However, we take this in the light of Jesus' teaching in life, it becomes abundantly true. To approach anything in the spirit of faith is to make it a possibility. In the wide realm of the kingdom of God, there is no barrier that can be set against the divine invasion except our unbelief. God is able. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or even think. God is able. And He will supply every need. Not every desire necessarily, not every want, but God will supply every need of ours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. If we seek His kingdom and His righteousness, then all of the things that we need for life will be added unto us as well. God is able. He can do it through and for us, all that needs to be done for us to have life and have it in abundance. As we read in 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. God's divine power has given you everything you need for life and godliness. He has given. Some of us haven't received yet what God has given, but God has already given it. We need to receive it. In faith we ask. In faith we knock. In faith we seek. And then doors are open. That which we need is given. All hinges on our belief. All things are possible to the person who believes. All things that are necessary for life. All things that are necessary for abundant life. All things necessary for godly living are possible to the person of faith in Jesus Christ. Well, the Father says, if you can help us. Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. And then the Father cries out, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief, or help me to believe more. This father had come looking for Jesus with his faith aglow. He thought this was the answer to his problem, as he longed to have his child healed. And the disciples' failure had almost completely quenched his faith. Then faith to faith with Jesus. Hearing the words, all things are possible to him to believe. The father's faith begins to blaze again. There's a word of encouragement for us here if we will remember it in season. It often happens that we receive less than we hope for from our church or from our fellow Christian. It often happens that you'll receive less than you hope for from the church or from a fellow Christian. We can be disappointed. We can be discouraged by their failure. However, we'll keep on seeking, keep on asking, keep on knocking, and get beyond the church and individual Christians to the Lord of the church. Get beyond the servant of Christ to Christ Himself. We'll not be disappointed. Jesus never fails. But what are the Father's words, help my unbelief? For all of us, these words, I believe, express a universal condition. We do believe in God. We do believe He's able to do whatever needs to be done. We do believe that He will provide a way for us. But we are strained mixtures of belief and unbelief. One day we cry out, Lord, I believe. And the next day, or maybe even the next hour, there's doubt. Do we really believe? We believe in one area of our minds and doubt in another. We sing on the sunny days, I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. On other days we cry out, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Are we saying, does Jesus care? With our heads we say we believe, while we worry and face our doubt. All of us can pray daily, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help me to believe more, Lord. Lord, I believe. Help me to believe more. Well, the Father came in desperation saying, if you can, help us. Jesus says all things are possible to him who believes. And the Father says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And the final step in faith journey is healing. After the Father's faith is rekindled, Jesus spoke a word of healing faith. And the boy was healed and restored to his father. You remember, even after the healing, when he fell down as if he were dead, some of the people said he's dead. They didn't believe. But Jesus touched him and raised him up and restored him to his father. The one who came with faith aglow and lost it and then has it rekindled sees God's provision in the healing of his son. Come into your situation, whatever it is tonight. Your life filled with problems of health, of finance, of emotional upsets, of mental instability, of spiritual doubts. Come as you are tonight with your mixture of faith. Your mixture of faith and doubt. Come not to the preacher or to the church, but come all the way to Jesus. As the old hymn has it, let not conscience make you linger, nor fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. Come and find in him his healing, his health, his wholeness, his life. Do you see some of the steps of faith here? First, the realization of a deep, deep need. Faith is born out of a sense of need, a need that we cannot feel. We hear of Jesus and approach perhaps one of his followers of the church and say, if you can, heal me, help me. But when we get to Jesus, we find that all things are possible. And faith is stirred and we cry out, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And with a new birth of faith, there is healing. There is wholeness. There is life. Praise be to God. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can come directly to you. Oh, we're so thankful for the church and for fellow Christians that are there and have helped us so much across the years. But we're so thankful even more that we can come just as we are to you. And you'll meet us right at the point of our need. And you'll provide for us everything we need for healing and health and wholeness. For life. Abundant life. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in your name that we pray.